Ready.
Ready, Freddy.
All right, I will call us to order on our budget work session for environmental health. Margaret, welcome. Thank you for putting together this budget as we've done the last couple years. We'll go through starting with revenues.
Okay.
Any questions that we have, we'll fire at you. And anything you want to point out, please do so. And my first question is, in local government payments, clearly we had $5,000. I assume that's Boone this year, but help me through that. Do we have any expectation with some of the steps Ames has taken right now that there could be an opportunity in this line item?
None that I know of, but always open for suggestions on that. Were you thinking of 28E with Ames, or...
I don't know what, you know, I know that Ames has contacted you a couple times to talk about different possibilities, and our response has always been the same. You whether they're active or not, you've got your own Board of Health. We're really out of it. But now it seems to me that there may be an opportunity to look at some kind of relationship like that.
I think maybe once they no longer have a Board of Health, I think a lot of that stuff, and you're not doing a lot now there now anyway.
Correct.
And I think maybe anything additional probably would be required for her to do by code.
Okay.
Any city over whatever it is, I can't remember the population.
20, I believe it is.
Yeah, can have their own Board of Health, but I think in the absence of a Board of Health, and I think it falls back to the county health department, I would assume.
Well, I would hope you will research that carefully because... Ames has a history that whenever they farm out any services to departments or other groups internally, a lot of times there's a little cost sharing that goes with that. So if there are some things that are over and beyond, I think, you know, you need to think about the time that you may have to commit and whether there is some type of revenue agreement that would come into light. And there may not be any, but I think Paul raises a good question in terms of what happens in the event that they don't have one, and then obviously your jurisdiction is more countywide in that regard, but I would just say that if there are opportunities, let's not pass up the opportunity, especially if you have to take on some extensive responsibilities that would take you away from some of the other county-run functions.
Okay, I'll keep it in mind.
Because they might be willing to kick in something. It's always worth exploring it. Okay, and we're not saying that it has to be that way.
Other state grants, you're looking at reducing from $5,400 to $4,000. You want to talk to us about that one?
Other state grants.
That's the fourth one down on...
My other paper here. You know why it's lower? This the preparedness grants have been taken out of the picture.
Okay, yeah. They're exhausted.
They're not offering that anymore.
Yeah.
So that's gone.
That's what I was curious about, and that's all I had on the revenue side of things. I don't know if you guys have others.
Okay. And I will just add, during this conversation, I mentioned it at the Board of Supervisors meeting, the possibility of getting the contract to do the pools, tattoo, and tanning parlors, yep. And that would bring in around $15,000.
So we need to plug that in.
If we get that. Well, yes, if the Board of Health gives me the go-ahead on that contract.
And we're going to talk about that.
February
meeting.
Yes.
So let's pencil in the fifth. What would that go under? Do we need to create a new? We
probably need a charges for services of some sort. Who are you
going to
charge
the parlors and the pools?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's pencil in $15,000 there, depending upon whether the Board of Health approves her going after it. It sounds to me like with where it is now, if you go after it, the odds are you're going to get it.
I agree.
Okay, moving on to expenses.
Let's see. Okay.
I'm on page 25 now.
Okay, yep.
Looks like more than doubling what we had budgeted last year for postage and mailing, understanding that we have put in some more mailing for you in what we're doing with some of the CAFOs. Is $900 the right amount there?
The reason why, that is based on our current postage rate right now. And the reason it's gone up is because I've done several more notice of violations, certified mailing with this lead program, and then also the Nevada, Minnesota Valley, they do not do water testing anymore. So everything has to be mailed to Iowa through the state lab, and that's what bumped up that cost.
I believe it's going up a penny at the end of the month, too.
And a penny a month.
I think it's just going up a penny a month at the end of the month.
Okay.
Oh, you're saying that $900 is probably reasonable at this point, you know, basically.
Yeah, I just extrapolated where we're at now and, you know, turned it into a year's usage. What we could do is, keeping in mind that grant that comes in, 25% of that goes toward general operating budget stuff. So some of that postage is paid for by the grant.
Yeah, but we've got the grant reflected in the revenues, correct?
Correct, yeah. But I'm just saying, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Covered somewhat, not by just tax money.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Back up to the top of that page, and I'm still on page 25, extra help.
Okay.
Is there anything other than Tim plugged into the extra help line?
When I wrote this, it was before we had the discussion on full-time versus part-time. And, okay. So that number reflects somebody being here that whole year, I believe. And I would like to keep that in simply because if that project is not done, we would have to have somebody hired in that position to complete that job.
Is there anything other than that job that we need to be budgeting for in the extra helpline? We're trying... As I understand it, the board is fully committed and behind us getting you to where everything is scanned in.
Okay.
As we do the math, looking at the work that needs to go into scanning everything in, and we look at the new health care provisions and everything else, it kind of comes together to tell us that, October 31st, is a reasonable timeline to expect to get it done. Now, if there's unforeseen circumstances that come up, I don't think we're going to get 75% of the way through getting everything scanned in and then say, oh, no, sorry, we've run out of money in the budget. We're not going to do anymore. I do think we're going to talk to you pretty regularly about, okay, we've got a deadline coming up. We need to hit that deadline. So my question before we start having the conversation about extra help is there anything else built in there other than getting this scanning done? And we're going hard on it right now. We'll finish off this fiscal year doing it, and then we'll go through at least October 31st doing it next year and hopefully be done at that point.
Yes, and that date was really just sort of established. We backed into that date. It's really not based on where we're at in the scanning process. It was just it's based on other factors. So I might only be halfway done by that time. You know, I'm hoping to be done by then, but... If I'm not, what are you going to do to me?
Well, then we'll have to come back and have that conversation.
Okay.
Because, like I say, I don't believe it's the intention of this board to get you partway done and then call it good. But mm-hmm. It is absolutely our intention to budget for what's a reasonable expectation. And everything I know to this point tells me that October 31st is a reasonable expectation. And we may find as we get closer that it's earlier than that. We may find that it's later than that. But Alyssa, you looked at the workload there. Did you feel was October 31st the date we picked because that's what's necessary for us to comply with all the new laws coming out, or was it a date that's reasonable to pick out based on the expectation of the work? And looking a little at what planning and development did with Tim and the amount of work he had to get done there.
We had looked at the date, probably both. I visited with Margaret and asked her, you know, how much work do you have? Could you look and see if the project can be done in this calendar year? Okay. The law states that we have to have a measurement period for our temporary and part-time employees, and if we allow somebody to work full-time this year and they go into next year, starting January 1st, if they average more than 30 hours, then we provide them with health insurance benefits. But if the project is done this calendar year, I don't have to keep track of their hours. So I visited with Margaret to see if it was doable for the project. If we have somebody in there working 40 hours a week, does it look like the project could get done this calendar year? And my understanding is it looked pretty doable.
I said that, but it's based on very early information.
Right, sure.
You know, and then the other thing that's come up is planning and development. Would like to use that computer a couple hours a week to get their scanning done. So that takes him off of my project, you know, a couple hours a week.
Right.
Is there a way to do that during lunch hours? Like just schedule, have him have a set?
Well, he eats at his desk.
He'll be doing the work. He'll be doing the work for planning and development.
No.
Somebody else
will
be doing it. You'll be scanning it in. Okay.
But
we could have
lunch.
Him do it.
Takes a half an hour lunch every day. And he leaves his workstation.
At his desk.
Works during it? Or he clocks out the half an hour?
Clocks out.
Okay. Then we could probably ask him if you needed to use it that half an hour. I would imagine he could go into the break room and take his... if they need access to the computer for that half an hour...
What we're working on is getting a replacement computer, just an old one that IT might be able to get their hands on, and then we'll be good to go. We can have... It's a long story, but we can have the software available to Christian.
It all has to do with the license and the scanner and what computer the scanner can work off of.
Makes no sense to anybody, so...
In a half hour of scanning, by the time you get over there and get set up and get it turned on, and then the time to turn it down, you're really going to get 10-15 minutes.
The other option is to let him do the scanning for you guys, and... Hope it all works out in the end. It all shakes out. I don't know. I mean, right now she's got quite the stack, but that is, how long is that accumulation from?
3 weeks.
3 weeks, uh-huh.
And so we're talking about once a week, you need to be able to get in there for a couple hour period to be able to just keep you guys up to speed.
If I can do it weekly, probably an hour.
Probably an hour once a week.
Yep, but right now I need 2-3 hours, maybe an afternoon to get caught up.
And the scanner upstairs is not a good
setup. And you and Tim's schedule right now, how does it mesh? You guys come in at the same time and leave at the same time?
Yes. Or sometimes he comes in a half hour earlier, takes a half hour lunch. But then again, that's just that half hour at the end of the day by the time you get set up.
Well, I mean, you need to get your planning and development stuff caught up. I mean, so can we ask Tim to take an afternoon off? I mean, knowing that that's going to...
Temporary employee.
Yeah, I mean, knowing that that's going to take, 4 hours out of your project, but if you can have a whole afternoon, could you get caught up to where you're at with planning and development? And then you think only an hour a week?
At the most.
If not, we're simply robbing Peter to pay Paul, because she's going to end up with a stack of stuff that was going to take her longer to do than the half a day that Tim would go home. Or not come in, or whatever you want.
Does he have any time off scheduled anytime soon? Has he requested any day, or told you any days that he won't be coming in?
I would simply ask him, maybe come in at noon someday coming up, so Chris can get the planning and development scanning caught up. And then we shouldn't have to ask him to do that again. And he can forge ahead with the health department.
Well, now, help me with, okay, so we want him to work 40 hours a week. When is he coming in every day?
7:30.
7:30. Takes a half hour lunch, and then out of here at?
4:30, whatever it works out to be.
4.
So that would be 4 if he's only taking a half hour lunch, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least says he's a temp employee. He should be working around your schedule.
Well, exactly. I'm just suggesting, is it possible that we, and Alyssa, help me if this is some kind of, if I'm violating some kind of rule, if we asked him to work 4 tens?
No, as long, I do like coverage in the office. When you're having a temporary employee, there should be somebody else in the office instead of them coming in and having.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have a temporary employee in an office without coverage. Put it that way. I would. Somebody's there at 7:30 to supervise them. Correct. Usually they're in the office.
I'm not here at 7:30. No way.
Ideally,
that might be something we want to look at.
I want to take a look at that. Yeah.
Okay.
And sometimes in the end is, but it's not necessarily
every day. Every day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not that we anticipate any issues, but the potential.
Well, he's not a full
authorized to, as a temporary employee to basically.
But he was given a fob. So what's the diff?
Yeah, I wasn't sure he had a fob.
Yeah.
Liability. Our insurance has got to cover us differently for temporary employees.
If they're getting paid, it's the same. But they're gonna question
what
we're having and why we do things the way we do. We don't even.
I don't even let staff have overtime or be here without a supervisor ever.
It's a topic that you need to work with him on and see what.
I wasn't aware that he was in without. And maybe he was with planning and development too, if there was nobody in the office.
Well, maybe if we just asked her to work with him to try to see if we can come up with
schedule on. I'm just
okay.
Yeah. One, and we're not pointing fingers at you. We just need to get this handled and figured out. We need to find a way to carve out some time for you to keep up with what you need to do with planning and development. So
starting at 8, though, now that hour kind of, well, now it turns into a 4:30 departure.
Mm-hmm.
So
works up to 40. It's pretty much been.
Yeah, but then, you know, they're putting my deadline. You know, I'm getting pinched both ways here, Lisa. So.
He's averaging about 36 hours. If I look at the full time he's been employed here at Story County, he's averaging 36 hours a week.
But I think part of that was because he was on leave for a little bit.
Gone for a little bit.
Changed the hours.
Yeah. Or there might be a week where he wasn't able to come in or had to leave early. You know, temporary employees have that ability. They work when they're able to work. Now we are going to have to keep them at a certain limit from here on out. And a time frame, too. Typically, they're not temporary employments, 6 months, 8 months. You know, we try to keep it. It's a little bit different situation because he came from another department. But moving forward with temporary employment, we get them in, get the job done. You know, it's for a specific purpose. So can we set their hours? Yeah. We can tell them exactly what time to come in and what time to leave. Yeah, as you can do with any employee. You know, you can, you know, your office person too, so and maybe just see if he has any ideas. You know, would he like to work till 5 o'clock a couple nights, work a couple 9-hour days, and then work a 6-hour day?
Guess I would just say,
you know, if he comes in at 8 and leaves at 5,
there's nobody on our staff that's around for
nobody stays till 5.
And that's the issue.
Till 5?
Oh yeah, everybody stays till 5.
But if he works 8 to 5 and takes a half an hour lunch, he's getting an extra half an hour a day. So he could work
9 hours. That wouldn't necessarily.
No. But he could work.
I would just suggest include him in the conversation. Just tell him where we're at and what we're trying to accomplish.
Okay.
And assume that he would be willing to work, try to help us work, get everything accomplished that we need to get accomplished.
Yeah. But it sounds to me like what's reasonable is to suggest that we would have this temporary position able to work 8.5 hours. Here's 8.5 hours during the day, from 8 to 5 with a half-hour lunch. You can work every one of those 4 days a week, and then one day a week you can work 6 hours, which frees up 2 hours for you to get done what you need to get done. It still allows Tim to get 40 hours if he so chooses, if he wants to meet our schedule, and we go with it. And then if we get into the fall and we find out that we're up against it and we're just – the schedule's not working out like we thought it was going to work out as far as getting this project done, then we're going to have a conversation about extending the deadline of the project. So that leads me to two things. We know that we are talking about 40 hours per week, every week from now to the end of this fiscal year, right? How much is that in extra help for health?
Where did that page go with the percentages?
And I'm talking about for FY13 right now.
Oh, to the end of this.
To the end of this one.
Oh, well,
I put it down for 7 and that. Let's see. My re-estimate has that.
Yeah, 11.4 is what you got plugged in. I'm just asking, Alyssa, I ask you to take a look at some of these numbers. At 40 hours per week the rest of this fiscal year, where does that get us?
In wages of $9,120, and that will be include this Friday's payroll. So
when I put that number in, it was from December.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And I'm just trying to get us where we're accurate based on what we know now.
Okay.
So they need an additional $9,120 in wages. That's 40 hours a week. I did not take the holidays out from here until then, so there'd be a couple.
That's less.
You're going to have a couple less days, but that's minimal. But I don't know this 7%, Lisa. We need to look at, see, after you printed this, how much has Margaret incurred?
That was December, the end of December. So that does not include January's wages.
Okay, so there's one payroll that's not included in here then. And then I did in the 9,120, that would include January 18th. This Friday, I assumed he had would have 80 hours on this payroll. I mean, I just calculated 80 hours per payroll.
We can leave it at 10,000.
Wages would be 10,000. Now your FICA and IPRS would be on top of that, but
they're already calculated in anyway.
Yeah.
But not included them in wages for the year, so we should be first.
You should be okay if you if you base their FICA and IPRS on the 10,000. Yeah. He's already qualified. He qualified at planning and development, so then we have to continue. They have to make $1,000 in two consecutive quarters, and then that next quarter we withhold the IPRS. So he's been on payroll long enough. He, you know, made $1,000 in two quarters, and then from there on forward we have to withhold the IPRS.
But we've got that reflected in what we've got budgeted here.
You put IPRS in.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so we'll leave that at 10,000 for this year. Next year, we've got it plugged in right now at 19,760. Clearly a lot has changed, Margaret, from when you submitted this.
Right.
So let's talk about where are we now for FY14 in what we're talking about doing.
Well, let's see. 7,000 would cover Tim from July through the end of October at $9.50 an hour.
7,600 is what I...
Yeah. 7,600? Okay.
But, and is that FICA business all that? No, because I didn't calculate any of that out.
The wages would be 7,600, then you had FICA and IPRS.
What I do when I calculate FICA and IPRS is I take into account whatever extra help people have.
Okay.
Super. So that'll trigger the changes on down there. So the Wayne's second line down... 19,760. That's going to 7,600.
Oh, got it.
Okay.
But so if the project isn't done,
then we're gonna work on it.
Oh, okay. You don't want to keep that line.
It's called lock the door.
I don't want to keep that line, Margaret, because I don't want to budget for what may happen. I want to budget for the best scenario we've got right now. And then if that doesn't work out, then we will figure it out. We're not going to, Margaret, we are not going to leave you hanging with that project only partially done. Now, what you can expect to hear from me is you can expect us to get to August and me say, Margaret, how's the progress going on getting this done? Well, boy, we're a little behind. We need to be trying to catch up. And you could feel me pushing a little bit to try to get us as far down the road as possible. But when we get to October 31st, if we're not done, we're going to figure out a way to get it done. There's no reason to do this if we're not going to do it all the way. Okay?
I agree. Okay.
Because it's just like planning and development. It won't stop. I mean, it'll just keep increasing from what you generate on top of what you already got to scan, your new stuff.
We need to get you to ground zero, and then you got to be responsible for maintaining the rest of the way. Yep. Okay. Good. We talked about postage and mailing. That was all I had on page 25. Anybody else any more than that?
I want to talk for 1 minute about field clothing. You've got in your office supplies, you say field clothing, possibly 3 staff at $100. Keep in mind that depending on what kind of clothing you're purchasing, it could be taxable, so it would not come out of that, and it would be taxable to the employee. Okay?
Okay, so that needs to move to a different line? To the
It's going to depend on what you purchase.
Exfol fringe. Most probably boots. And that's taxable. Or
be a taxable fringe because they are not uniform that is only used for work. So that would qualify as
boots.
All boots are taxable.
I'm not saying that that's necessarily been caught in the past, but that's how it needs to happen.
Okay, so we're talking about going taxable fringe from 360 to 660, correct?
You want to move it? You want to just plan on it?
You need boots for everybody? I mean, that's reasonable for us to be buying them, not to be buying themselves?
Well, we didn't used to, but then I saw that other departments were, so I thought it was reasonable for equity purposes. Yep.
What departments?
Cleaning.
I don't think it's unreasonable if they're out doing field work.
Right, I agree.
I've seen the conditions that you guys are out.
I've seen them come back from the field.
Absolutely. It's easy to trash them. I mean, 100 is pretty.
Well, that way they can just leave them here.
Hmm?
You can leave them here. Is that what you would do, your boots, at work instead of dragging them home? You know, is that what you do now?
No. Well, I mean, it depends. Like winter boots, yeah, but.
Well, they just if we're buying them as part of them working here, they need to only be used when they're working here. We don't need to buy them boots that they're wearing.
$100 doesn't cover the full cost of boots, so part of that is.
Well, but if we need to buy them boots, let's buy them boots. Let's put what the cost of the boots is in here. Mm-hmm. But then they need to be aware. I mean, when Paul was deputy sheriff, you didn't go around wearing your, uniform and utility belt except for when you were on duty.
You wear your shoes, Paul?
They're under taxable fringe.
No different.
Then they can wear them. Is that correct? Or not?
That's why they're taxed.
That's why they're taxed.
If it was something that they...
the department owned, and they returned to the department, and they left here outside of here.
Then that would be a different.
Line item were you referring to here that we're making the adjustment in?
From office supplies to taxable fringe.
Okay.
So we wear our boots on the way home when we're doing inspections on the way home. How?
That's why it's a taxable fringe.
Why it's a taxable fringe?
So we can do that.
It's taxable then. That's why they tax you on it because you're. We can't control whether you wear it outside of here, so the IRS says anything that doesn't have a big Story County label, they have pretty strict regulations as far as that goes.
Doesn't have a uniform and equipment line?
No.
No.
So it would have to go up under...
Not every department has that either.
Right, right. Yeah. Mine would be very expensive.
I bet. Yeah, it would.
And we do that, Margaret. We do that for the detectives at the sheriff's office because their clothing can be worn, so they get an allowance. It's kind of the same deal there.
Okay. So taxable fringe goes to $660. Office supplies comes down to $2,000. Anything else on page 25?
Taking the $10 away?
I'm taking the $10 away. You weren't supposed to notice that $10 that I slipped out of you.
We all noticed.
Yep. Yep. It's me. You got to watch. That's right.
Okay, so on to the next page, are we? Or?
Yep, on to page 26.
Okay.
Education and training.
Okay.
Just take us through it.
Okay. Well, let's see. Okay, the big difference there this year is sending Matt Corey to San Diego for the ESRI user conference. And that is a benefit to the entire county because he really is talented in that field. And he and Matt Boyk, I can never say his last name.
Boyk. Boyk with a K.
work together, and they bounce ideas off of each other. They're kind of a team. And I think it's very valuable to send him there.
ESRI stands for... I didn't bring my acronym.
Oh, it's the GIS.
It's the GIS. Ezra okay. E-E-E.
That wall goes every Factual
something.
That goes... usually someone from City of Bend from City of Ames.
Yeah. Ames. Usually about four or five that goes.
Every once in a while, somebody from another office will go, an assessor's office maybe.
It makes perfect sense to me.
I think Leanne's gone before.
Yeah. I don't know
if Charlie's gone.
Nobody's gone. So that's probably the biggest difference.
Yeah. Well, there's the 1,500. I mean, actually, you haven't requested 1,500 additional, but you got 1,500 in, so you got me. I think it makes sense to send him to that. My next question is lab services, unless you guys have something ahead of that. The $10,000 in lab services for septic system installation and vouchers for septic plumbing and inspection for Hickory Grove Lake pilot project.
That you weren't supposed to notice. I was just going to slide that through. $10, $10,000.
That's right.
Okay. And I'm just floating this out there.
Yep.
I presented it to the Board of Health. And there's been a team of us working on that Hickory Grove water quality. It's an impaired lake.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we have several houses in that watershed. Eight of them are not on any permitted system, so right. Most probably going to the tile.
Yep.
Okay. And we are looking for a way to encourage them to upgrade their septic system now instead of waiting for a time of transfer when they have to. Okay. And so the group that meets, and it's a big group, it's ISU folks and DNR folks and conservation folks, we all meet. And their idea, although I disagreed with it, is to have one pilot project to demonstrate how, you know, what has to be done to make your system right. And the Board of Health, and I like their approach better, is to have vouchers or mini grants for all eight, if they're interested, to encourage them to get a system. And new systems, $10,000-ish average for septic systems. So this would be a way to encourage them to do that.
This is in response to, I think, Irv Clausen, a young man from out of state, came and talked to our board meeting here a number of months or a year or so ago, and this is all in an attempt to try to figure out why Hickory Grove remains such a, I don't know what you want to
call it. Impaired water.
Impaired water.
Yeah. So, you know, they've identified the geese and the septic systems. And a little bit of animal livestock activity.
And it's got to be some fertilizer on some of the yeah. crop land.
Right? And
but it's not impaired that way. It's just impaired for E. coli at this point, for bacteria at this point. They did do a fabric whitener study. And it did show up in the ditch. So there's definitely sewage, human sewage, getting into the tile and then making its way to the lake. One or eight or 20, I don't know. But
I didn't bring anything, but there's a list of, and you said how many with no permitted system?
Eight. Mm-hmm.
And some of them that are.
Yes, I think 32 in the whole watershed, and eight of them have no permit.
But even some of the ones, I mean, I just took a quick look at it. One of them's soon to be 40 years old.
Oh, I know, yeah. So
there's no guarantee
that 32 could be...
paying the money for the, you know, helping one of the eight out.
Or helping all eight of them out, and it's...
And it's coming from a system that's 30 or 40 years old and never been touched.
Right, right. You know, or it could be vouchers for all 32 of them pumping their system and getting it inspected to see what condition they're in. I mean, there's a lot of different things. The other approach is not to go good guy and go to each house and try dying them and seeing who's causing the problem. And, you know, take a lot of staff time and not 100% results, but that's another way. So go the enforcement route.
Well, I think you kind of talked about that at the Board of Health meeting last time. That's kind of a, I mean, a lot of it depends on how dry the soil is, and
yes,
there's a lot of variables that can affect those dye tests.
Yes, and then so if you don't see it, then they think, oh, our system is fine. Not necessarily.
Crack in the tile somewhere.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, no question this would be a welcome topic for the Conservation Board because, you know, they have been working with Iowa State and others for last several years now and trying to do this study to determine how they can clear up this problem. And I think for the dollars being allocated here, this would be, I could certainly be supportive of us trying to see what we can find out, and then we would know what our next steps would have to be. You know, I think if we've got evidence that point to that we've got some failed systems, you know, then I think most of the landowners and homeowners in those areas would want to try to correct that, most of them.
It's a tough sell. Throw a couple thousand toward it,
right.
It's a tough sell.
I agree with what you're saying. If we had any kind of reasonable hope that this was going to positively impact the situation, and that's my problem is, okay, we got 8 that we know aren't permitted at all, but we got, you said, 32
total in the area.
Yeah. Yeah. And it could honestly be coming from anywhere or any multiplier of those. And so we're talking about spending $10,000, in my mind, without a reasonable hope that we're going to positively impact the problem. The second point to this is, you say, I'd like you to talk to me just for a minute about the group you were on that you said the group collective came up with a different alternative that you didn't agree with. Talk me through that.
Getting funding, hopefully from the county, for doing a pilot project where we choose one of those 8 and have field days there instead of over at the lake. We've had field days for the last 2 years now in the summertime, and poorly attended. But then they thought maybe instead we would go ahead and have field days at the farm and showing them, you know, what it looks like when a tank goes in, when the laterals go in, the right way to do it. A lot of people think that because their septic tank discharges into a tile drain and it's not backing up into the basement, they assume that it's a working system, and it's not. I mean, it's removing it, it's not treating it.
Well, Rick,
so pilot project, all money in one on one versus the other. You know, and maybe it is a good idea. I don't know.
Your concern, I think, is valid. But unless we have a mechanism to explore what the issues are, how are we going to really have any knowledge as to what probably needs to be done to eradicate the problem?
Yeah, I'm with you. If this were the idea of the dye test, knowing that that's fraught with problems of actually getting to the end, I would feel better about it because it would at least then we're trying to identify the problem. Here, it's walking into a dark room and, you know, playing pin the tail on the donkey and hoping that you're hitting the one or ones that are causing the problem. And I don't like the odds that I'm being given to ask for $10,000 to do this. I'm not. It is a problem. It is a problem we've got to deal with. I just don't think there's any real hope that we can solve the problem doing it this way.
Well, for me, it's just like, I mean, you're throwing money at a problem and hoping you're going to fix it.
It's
kind of like research and development. I mean, we're trying to research to find out what the problem is.
We know what the problem is.
And, well, okay, but you don't know where the source.
Right. Well,
and so if there was another system, such as the dye system or what have you, maybe part of that might be to use that as your starting point. And then go from there if it seems like it could give us some pretty definitive.
If you had to choose, What do you think the most effective approach would be in that area to try to, you know?
If I had to choose, I would offer vouchers or grant money toward pumping and digging up the D-box, and then that kind of proves to them that it's taken off down the tile. And that you could get done for maybe $400 a site. That would be a really good start, and that will tell us who's doing it and who's contributing to the problem.
Yeah, but we can't force them to take advantage of the program.
No, you can't.
So we say, okay, we're offering
way to start.
And I'm not arguing that that's a good way to start. It sure is more appealing to me to say, well, you can do it almost by process of elimination. If you say, hey, we're offering, you said $400. $400 voucher to get your septic system pumped out, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see who takes advantage of it, and then by process of elimination, you're going to know, first of all, you're going to know if you're hitting the one that is the problem, right? Because once you pump it out, then what happens? Is that then where the dye goes through?
Well, no. Once you pump it out, it would be pumping the tank and then also poking around to find where if they have a secondary system. And if they don't, that means it's hooked to a tile or going straight to a creek or a ditch.
But we could do that while it was being pumped out, whoever's pumping it out.
Yeah, because it wouldn't just be a pumping, it would be a pumping and sort of inspection.
You think that's $400 per one of these to get that done?
I think pumping is what, $250?
Yeah, so like a time of transfer inspections, which requires exposing the distribution box and the tank and pumping everything, that's $400 or $500.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
See, I could get a lot more enthusiastic about, and call it a pilot program if you wanted to, but say that we're going to tackle 10 of these a year, first come, first serve, then over a three-year span, if everybody were to take advantage, we could be hitting all 32 sites out there, right?
And we're going to limit it just to the watershed of...
That's what I'm suggesting.
Yes, yep.
And I really think that the Conservation Board needs to take a really hard look at this. You know, we had the conversation with Mike yesterday about, you know, the revenue from the camping receipts and all that stuff. Well, how much longer are people going to want to camp at Hickory Grove if their kids can't swim in the lake?
Right.
5% is what he said.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe they need to look at where some of that money is going. I mean, it's great that we're doing this stuff at Dakin's and we're redoing the shower bathhouse, but you know, do we need to take another look at where some of that money is going? And I mean, I don't know, short of taking a good hard look at every septic system in that watershed. I mean, like I said earlier, even the eight that, as far as we know, don't have a system. I mean, you go back and look at that, the other 20 or 30 on that list that have 25, 30, 35-year-old systems. I mean, how long have they been putting leach fields in and not just hooking it to a farm tile?
Well, Paul, I would suggest that both you and Margaret just get on the board agenda and just start that conversation so that the Conservation Board and Mike can work with Margaret a little bit in terms of trying to help, because they're already talking about strategic planning and trying to figure out what direction they want to go. And I think it's just a matter of helping to prioritize if this...
I think the problem at Hickory Grove, I think everybody knows it's gone beyond goose poop.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're past that point, and now it's, you know, where it's coming from and where else in the watershed, so... That's why, you know, granted the money, it all comes out of the same pot, but if maybe they're taking some of their focus... And trying to find out what can we do to improve
their focus is where they see the immediate need right now is where it's at, and that varies from year to year, right?
And you know, even if we get all of those cleaned up, it's not necessarily going to solve the whole problem, but it will solve this part of it.
Right.
And with the human pathogens, it's very important for public health to address that. You know, goose poop is one thing; human poop is another.
All right, so I'm suggesting instead of $10,000 in that one part of this line item, we take that to $4,000 and we say first 10 at $400 vouchers, the first 10 in that watershed that come forward and want their system pumped, and we take a look at everything else, that we have that $400 voucher available.
And at 400 each, okay. So 4,000. I'm really happy with that.
Yeah. So we're reducing that from 12,500 to 6,500. No, I'm sorry, to 8,500. No, 6,500. Yeah. 6,500 instead of 12,500.
And we can have a conversation next month at the Board of Health meeting about, you know, the best way to go about it. Because we just apply the money.
Yeah, absolutely. But I was just curious. I just want to make sure that we as supervisors, when we put forward some money, there's a reasonable expectation that we're going to impact something. And this one feels to me like at least we're going to start to narrow down where the problems are coming from. Mm-hmm. We may not be able to rule everything out, but we'll be able to rule some of them out.
Right. And I think it's a good step for us to take to show the Conservation Board that
we're serious. Yeah.
We want to see where this is
going. Okay. Lisa, you want to tell us what we did?
We're at 267,515, bottom line on that budget. I got you taking 12,160 out of extra help, adding 300, subtracting 310, and then 6,000 out of that line item.
Good.
So what's our total again then, Lisa?
267,515.
How'd that go?
Good.
You're doing a nice job.
Yep.
It's a good budget you put forward.
Oh, thanks.
Absolutely.
Yep. You bet.
Absolutely. Anything else that we need to discuss related to health? Okay. Anything else you guys want to share with us?
The manure management. We need to get some postings downstairs.
Okay.
On the front doors, because everyone just drip up here until they're used to the change in internal policy.
And
okay.
Yeah. Does Margaret need to give you guys? Apparently, Margaret's the one that you guys have told or appointed,
designated
to sign for manure management. Does that mean Margaret's department, or does that mean Margaret, or what does that mean?
Well, I follow Lucy's.
Yeah, the way it says is the official is designated, so I made it Margaret specifically.
Okay.
But I would think that we could get a stamp and somebody could initial that.
Did that already? Yep.
Yeah,
because if you're
out. Okay. Right.
That's how we do it in our. That's how,
the question here this morning when Matt had signed one that you guys did today, and she's like, well, you guys are designated as her deputies and appointed, blah, blah, blah. Whereas, do we need other documentation? But if you guys handled it, we're good.
Stamp with initials.
Got a stamp with initials so we can see.
And
okay.
It's a signature stamp.
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys will work with Alyssa on getting the schedule for Tim set in a way that allows you to get done what you need to get done.
Okay, yep. Okay. Yep. And then, what else was I going to say? I still want to talk to you a little bit about just the logistics on the manure management one.
Okay.
And while I have the three boards.